Thank you, Blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, June 10th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Seven miners perish in an accident at the Golden Valley mine in Kadoma following a freight carriage accident.
From the look of things, it seems the human error in the safety devices which were supposed to be in place were not in place. It seems the waste was not declared.
The government says it is embarking on a $35 million exercise to audit the land reform program after unearthing irregularities, including 10-year-olds recorded as beneficiaries.
We have always been saying that people are actually using their children and their grandchildren to acquire vast tracts of land, which they were unable to actually utilize.
A senior economist urges the West to assist Zimbabwe with foreign direct investment to rescue the Southern African nation from sliding further into recession.
Seven miners died last night at Golden Valley Mine in Kadoma after a carriage carrying 19 miners plunged down the mine shaft. The seven died instantly and the injured were taken to various hospitals in and outside Kadoma. The accident comes less than a week after Deputy President Joyce Mujuru led commemorations at the Wange Colliery Company, marking 42 years since the Kamandama mine disaster, where over 400 miners lost their lives after an explosion at number 2 Colliery in 1972. Sam Piri is a regional officer for the National Mine Workers Union. He says the negligence and lack of safety nets could have led to the accident and the needless loss of lives.
Seven workers of Golden Valley perished. It's roughly about 6 o'clock in the evening. They were about to go to work when the accident happened. The cage in which they were traveling in collapsed and killed about 7. 12 of the 19 survived the accident. This all happened at Pioneer Shaft.
From what you have seen as a union representative, would you say there was some form of negligence resulting in the deaths of these 7 people?
From the look of things, it seems the human error in the safety devices which were supposed to be in place were not in place. It seems the waste was not declared. Because if it was declared, it was supposed to stop recently when it passed the main place where the people were supposed to depart the cage.
In this situation where you think that there was negligence and that, you know, all the safety nets were not put in place, what do you do as a union to help the families of the deceased?
As a union and as the workers rep, I would have to advise the office and then from there they will take some measures.
Are you satisfied with the kind of assistance that the company is offering to the families of the deceased?
I'm not satisfied because as far as I'm concerned, the company was supposed to take good care of the whole event. But in this instance, the company only provided $24 for breakfast, of which it's too little or it's nothing in terms of assistance. So this afternoon, as I speak right now, they only brought in some meat and the 4 kgs of 4 liters of cooking oil, 10 kgs of sugar, and the 2,500 grams of utilities. They only promised that the mealie meal or maize will have to be delivered later, but we don't know when.
Do you know when the deceased are going to be buried?
As for now, the company has not given any light to when they are going to arrange for burials. They are still in closed door meetings with the Inspector of Mines and the police.
And that was Sam Piri, regional officer for the National Mine Workers Union. He spoke with us from Kadoma.
The government says it is embarking on a $35 million exercise to audit the land reform program after unearthing irregularities that saw children as young as 10 and 12 years old receiving farms or plots during the allocations under the controversial program. Minister of Lands and Resettlement Douglas Mombeshora, today told the Herald newspaper that some beneficiaries were allocated more farms because of mix-up of names. He says his ministry is working with the Registrar General's office to verify identity numbers of beneficiaries and would repossess land acquired fraudulently. However, a member of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Land, Sam Spepankomo, tells reporter Standigile Mhlanga that the most effective way of readdressing the land redistribution program is through setting up an independent committee.
We have always been saying this. People are actually use their children and their grandchildren to acquire vast tracts of land, which they were unable to actually utilize properly, the resulting in the hunger that is so manifest in our country. And it's not that everybody in the country receives land. I come from Cholocho, and I've been where I was born, and we are squashed there. And so there's been no land distribution except to those that seeing and hold the cards in ZANU-PF.
The government does not necessarily address concerns that ZANU-PF officials were mostly the beneficiaries, as you are indicating. They seem to be like highlighting technical faults.
No. There's no technical fault involved here. They allocated themselves land. They had these land committees which were actually staffed by ZANU-PF. And they allocated themselves. Come, Suguru, come.
Following this revelation, do you see a genuine need by the government to redress the situation? Do you think it will be done properly?
No, I don't think it will. I think what should be done is to create an independent land commission. It must be given the responsibility of looking to the whole question of land. Because land cannot be that allocated. It's not a heritage for a particular family.
The minister says he will propose to the cabinet and ZANU-PF Politburo to rent out state land. Will this work?
Well, that's some of the land that we have not been utilized. So, yes, I would agree with the minister that if they want to leave, those that you want to leave must be checked out, not their track record. And it could be another commercial farm that wants to really do much more. It could be listed to them.
That was Sam Sibepankomo, a member of the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Land. She spoke from Bulawayo. A senior economist is urging the West to assist Zimbabwe with foreign direct investment to rescue the Southern African nation from sliding further into recession. This comes after Denmark announced it has donated $20 million to Zimbabwe through the African Development Bank-run Zimbabwe Multi-Donor Trust Fund. Danish ambassador to Harare, Eric Rasmussen, says the money will be channeled towards the rehabilitation of structures such as roads, water, and electricity. A number of donors in a bid to support a priority recovery activities in Zimbabwe, created the Zimbabwe Multi-Donor Trust Fund as a successor to the Zimbabwe Programmatic Multi-Donor Trust Fund during the unity government era. The African Development Bank manages the ZIM Fund with the endorsement of the government, the donor community, and United Nations agencies. Resource Exploitation Watch chief economist Washington Metlomakulu says that the donation is significant, though more still needs to be done to normalize ties between Harare and the West.
You find that typically these kind of donations are targeted at poverty alleviation, are targeted at vulnerable groups. As you'd appreciate that given the limited fiscal space that obtains in Zimbabwe, government is not able to provide social services in areas such as wealth, in areas such as water and sanitation, in areas such as education. So this comes as a welcome donation. But I must hasten to add that as much as this is welcome, I think the emphasis really should go towards foreign direct investment in terms of restarting and revitalizing this economy. Because aid, by its very nature, is meant to address a symptom, but does not really address the root cause of the challenges.
But they also seem to be donor fatigue. What is causing this?
If you have a discussion with people in the in philanthropy, and if you talk to civil society, if you talk to non-profit for-profit organizations, there is a global fatigue around issues of aid, in particular in Africa. And I think the challenge really has largely been the lack of accountability in some African countries, you know, in terms of how the donation is then utilized. But also related to that is the issue of, obviously, the issue of the global credit crunch.
Resource Exploitation Watch Chief Economist Washington Metlomakulu speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington. If you are in South Africa, listen to Studio 7 through the following number, 010-591-6465.
If you are in America or Canada, you can tune in to our phone number, 712-432-5882. Once again, 712-432-5882.
If you're in Britain, call 033-00-10334. Once again, 033-00-10334.
The acting chairperson of the MD Cities Guardians Council, Ms. Sekai Holland, today met separately with party leader Morgan Tsvangirai and renewal team leader Tendai Biti to discuss fissures affecting the party. Though Ms. Holland could not be drawn into disclosing what she discussed with the two warring leaders, sources say the meetings were part of efforts by the Guardians Council to mediate between the two factions. Friction continues between the two factions, with the renewal team formally charging Mr. Tsvangirai with 17 counts of violating the party's constitution. They now want him to appear before a three-man disciplinary committee. Ms. Holland, who says she was invited by Mr. Tsvangirai to the meeting, says her council is only playing an advisor role as they do not have mediation skills.
I'm very surprised that a very simple visit to the president's office at his request is now in Washington, D.C. Basically, as chairperson of the Guardians Council, I'm at liberty to speak with any of our leaders, with any of our members, anytime that we think we want to talk about something. So, of course, today was such a day. I'm in Harare, and I was able to go and see the president, and I was able to see the secretary general in the normal course of discussion on party matters. The Guardians Council has no skill to mediate. Our role in the constitution is advisory. And our advice to all our leaders, to all our members, is that in any fight or any conflict that ensues among ourselves, we should not fight to the death. We should leave a space where we know we can meet and still continue to talk, where we can actually, as Democrats, continue to link up and work together. Our wish is for getting our party unified. But mediation skills, Guardians Council, we don't have. Our role is advisory.
But did today's two meetings have anything to do with your advisor role?
You know, I really find it very interesting that I have to inform the world my private conversations with my president and my secretary general. Definitely, these conversations take place and they cover a lot of areas. And definitely one of the issues would be to try and keep the message going that people would be very happy to see our party united. Yes, but mediation, we don't have the skill.
That was acting MDCT Guardians Council Chairperson Sekai Holland in Harare. MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwonzora says no mediation is taking place, adding Mr. Tsvangirai will not appear before the renewal team's disciplinary committee.
Well, in the first place, there are no negotiations taking place. There is no mediation taking place. There is nobody who has mandated to do mediation on this issue. The position that we have taken is very simple. These are dishonest people, both the people whom we are being asked to negotiate with and those who are asking us to negotiate. There is bad faith. There is dishonesty. There was a meeting of the Guardian Council which made it clear that they were against Mandela. But the leadership personified by Mrs. Holland came and stated completely different things. So this is a tactic meant to simply waste our time and the time of the people of Zimbabwe.
But as the chairperson of the Guardian Council, is Mrs. Holland not entitled to set up all these mediation efforts?
No, because the Constitution is very clear that it is the Guardian Council and not an individual who do mediation. Now, Mrs. Holland cannot move alone and purport to do mediation.
We also understand that the renewal team has formally charged Mr. Tsvangirai with 17 counts of violating the party's constitution and has called him to appear before a disciplinary hearing. What's your reaction to this?
Well, this is just a publicity stunt. People want to make news. As you know, that the renewal people have never criticized Mugabe ever since. They formed themselves. They are preoccupied with trying to destroy the brand of Morgan Tsvangirai. Probably they are playing according to the script given by CIO and ZANU-PF.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwanzora in Harare. Studio 7 also reached out to renewal team spokesman Jacob Mafume for comment.
Well, as far as we know, we are not aware of any such meeting. If they did, okay, we shall be informed in due course. Sometimes meetings are private and sometimes meetings are public. So as soon as we are informed, and we will then respond accordingly.
But is your team willing to sit down with Mr. Tsvangirai and discuss all the issues that are threatening to split the party?
The issue of renewal has been an issue which we presented before the then leader of the party, Mr. Morgan Tsvangirai. And if he is going to discuss that issue of how we are going to renew the party, then we can discuss. But if he is as belligerent and as undemocratic and acting in this new manner that we are not accustomed to, then there will be no possibility of discussing. The only discussion is how to go separate ways amicably.
We also understand that you have formally charged Mr. Tsvangirai with 17 counts of violating the party's constitution, and you have called him to appear before a disciplinary hearing. May you update us on this?
Yes, the charges have been sent. A panel has been set up of three lawyers who are going to be adjudicating over the matter, and they will do so. It is a matter which is before them, and the charges are out outlined. As you know, you are suspended, and once a person is suspended, they have a reasonable expectation to be called to a hearing.
That was Renewal Team spokesman Jacob Mafume in Harare with Studio 7.
South African President Jacob Zuma will miss his new government's first cabinet meeting following a hospital stay for apparent exhaustion. The president's office says Mr. Zuma is resting at his home this week and will not attend the three-day cabinet Lekotla or conference that began in Pretoria today. The 72-year-old leader left a Pretoria hospital late Sunday, a day after he was admitted for what his office called a thorough checkup and rest after a demanding election campaign. The ruling ANC party won last month's election with 62% of the vote, and Mr. Zuma was recently inaugurated for a second term as president.
Transport Minister Obed Mpofu says commuter-owned buses will not be banned but will gradually phased out to create a modern and affordable transport system. Mpofu has been holding a series of meetings with commuter omnibus operators in Bulawayo, where the local authority has already designed a grand plan for having a few high-occupance vehicles that will operate in the city within the next few years. Under the Zimbabwe National Transport Policy, crafted by President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party, high-volume buses operated by a limited number of private players will replace commuter omnibuses between 2014 and 2016. The policy stipulates that operators are said to be identified by government and would operate in designated routes. The policy also stipulates that the minimum age of a driver of a commercial vehicle will be at least 35 years.
Commuter buses are expected to suffer the same fate as the once popular Peugeot 404s and 504s that used to ply the intra-city routes. Mpofu says the planned transport system will significantly reduce bus fares and largely affect commuter omnibuses with a carrying capacity of less than 26 passengers. The Harare City Council says more than 4,500 individual operators are registered as commuter omnibus owners in the city. Indications are that Metro buses already been commissioned to take part in a pilot test of the new system. At the same time, bids have been submitted for a ring road designed to decongest the Harare business district. Critics say this system is subject to abuse by state officials believed to be eyeing some of the projects. Minister Mpofu told Studio 7 reporter Chris Gande that reports that combis will be banned are not correct.
Yeah, we have not been talking about banning combis. We have been talking about phasing them out in view of the chaos and the carnage that has been, you know, caused by some of the combi operators. We have, as a government, decided that perhaps if we encourage people to embark on high-volume buses, the situation of congestion, the situation of chaos, you know, in roads will be abated, it will be avoided. So we are saying we have engaged our the associations that are actually responsible for operating combis and even public transport with a view to not coming up with an agreed position regarding the introduction of high-volume buses. We are not going to impose this on the commuters, but we as a government feel that is the best solution to the current chaos on our roads.
Now, can you tell us how this is going to be done? Are you going to have ZUPCO-like buses run by the government, or the private sector will also join in?
No, the private sector, we're actually encouraging the private sector to run with this program. The combi is actually a private sector initiative. But government, through its institutions such as CMED or ZUPCO, might want to increase their fleet.
That was Transport Minister Obed Mpofu speaking with Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo.
Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni told Studio 7 reporter Blessing Zulu that he fully agrees with the new changes.
Well, there's need for better engagement, but I can say I had a brief meeting with the Minister of Roads, and as you'll appreciate, we operate under the superior body of the central government, and we stand guided and support their actions, and we compare notes as necessary. So for this particular one, I think I call for more dialogue so that we find common solutions. We'll be guided by where they stand. But as a local authority, we may share some views on the matter.
But enforcement seems to be a problem, as we have seen running battles between the police and combi operators. How best can that be resolved?
I agree with you there. If you look at our combi drivers, they're law unto themselves. They've got a completely different culture of doing things. I think they need to be set down and be told that the city requires better out of them. They're not animals, they're human beings. They should be spoken to and we get some sort of understanding. They are definitely a law unto themselves. We would want to have managed them as the city of Harare. We seem to have failed. We would want the police to have managed them. The police seem to be failing. So we can't have that level of lawlessness accepted and be part of us. Because if we don't do it, it becomes part of all our delayed actions and it becomes even more difficult to deal with if we delay it any longer.
That was Harare Mayor Bernard Manyenyeni speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. However, combi operators are against the new policy that is being advocated by Minister Obed Mpofu. They charge the policy is being imposed without their input. Chris Gande spoke to an operator from Ulawayo, Lethom Kwena, who says that they are going to regroup as operators and approach the minister.
The conversation with Mr. Mpofu, but no, in the actual fact, he was telling us we were not negotiating, because if we were negotiating, we're going to find a way forward. Like, for instance, you say, okay, from now, small companies are not going to be registered. Those one which are already on the market or the one which are applying the route will save them maybe in between 3 to 5 years' time. That way, it was going to work. But as we speak now, if you are told that you are going to remove you out of the road and then you are suspending every company, then the life would go. A lot of people, they are dead today. A lot of people are not working, especially people who bought combis. Most of them are pensioners. So if you just cut them off like that, there's nothing which you're going to do.
What is the way forward? Is there anything that you as an organization are doing to try and impress your ideas on Minister Mpofu?
I think what we're going to do, we're going to regroup and then we are going to engage him again. And then we'll try to talk and find a proper solution. Not just saying that all the combis are going to be phased out. No, we are going to talk to him again. We are going to regroup and talk to him again. And then until we find a better solution. I think that is the only way forward. Because he can't just say, I'm banning them now. We have to go back to him. Definitely we are going to go back to him. And we'll sit down with him. And then we'll talk and we'll find a way forward.
That was a commuter omnibus operator from Bulawayo, Leso Mkwena.
Before we go to the next story, Jonga, we'll just remind our listeners that please, can you continue sending us emails for your mailbag so we can read out your mails on air? Send the emails to studio7@voanews.com.
Listeners, you can also call our hotline 1-202-205-9942 and dial 11 when the phone is answered to leave us your voice message, which you can play on air. The number once again, plus 1-202-205-9942 and the dial number is 1111 to leave your message.
The Zimbabwe National Council for the Welfare of Children says it is waiting to hear from government ministries after submitting a petition on child sexual abuse. The petition, which collected more than 1,000 signatures from children and child rights advocates, is calling for zero tolerance on child sexual abuse. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to Zimbabwe National Council for the Welfare of Children chairperson Dr. Lamia Opiri, who explains the multi-sector approach to tackling child abuse in Zimbabwe.
The protocol on the multi-sectoral approach to cases of child sexual abuse and violence continue to be strengthened through adequate resourcing and implementation because we realize that without strengthening these, the multi-sectoral approach, the chances of the cases involving children going through litigation are actually challenging. And the second one was that the Justice Service Commission and the Minister of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs should encourage all magistrates and prosecutors in particular to continue to handle matters of child abuse proactively by ensuring that all matters are dealt with sensitively and that all perpetrators get the maximum sentences possible, because this will now act as a deterrent. The third issue was that the Ministry of Justice, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs should attend to the ever-increasing reports of alleged corruption and unnecessary delays in dealing with child sexual abuse cases, in order to complement efforts by the Zimbabwe Republic Police Victory Fund Unit.
When we look at the issue of child sex abuse in Zimbabwe, are people open to talking about this, and are families that have been affected also open to discussing this issue?
The challenge that we've had in our society, as you've correctly mentioned, is that people are not open to talk about it. And this is really because of the stigma that is associated with how your child has been raped or so-and-so has been raped. But as an organization, we are pushing, we are creating more awareness platforms so that people realize that it is the child's right to be heard, and that when a child has been violated in whatever way, either through violence or through sexual abuse, it is not right.
That was the Zimbabwe National Council for the Welfare of Children chairperson Dr. Lamia Opiri.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about the issue of commuter omnibuses in the country.
To join the discussion, please text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
And now to recap today's top stories.
Seven miners perish in an accident at the Golden Valley mine in Kadoma following a carriage accident.
The government says it is embarking on a $35 million exercise to audit the land reform program after unearthing irregularities.
And a senior economist urges the West to assist Zimbabwe with foreign direct investment to rescue